Don't you wonder if God ever gets sick and tired of all that's going on in the world? Whether God might be fed up with the corruption on Wall Street, the narcissism and deception in the White House, mean-spirited and hostile discourse everywhere we look, an economic system tilted against the poor, social structures that perpetuate racism and injustice, and on top of it all, a global pandemic made worse by a self-serving public led by self-serving politicians. You think God might be losing patience with humanity? Makes me think about Genesis and how God felt about the people before the great flood. In a moment of exasperation, God said in Genesis 6, verse 3, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever." And three verses later, God lost it all altogether. It says, "The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled." It's a good thing rainbows still show up now and then, because Genesis tells us that the rainbow is there for God's benefit. It's there to remind God never to destroy the earth again. So when God is troubled, thank goodness for rainbows, a little spiritual safety net for us. We can always point to them and look up to heaven and say, "Hey, God, check it out. What does that remind you of? Remember that time?" I know I'm playing a little lightly with a complicated topic, which is the patience of God. We know God is a righteous judge. We also know God is patient. How we put those two together is the question at hand this morning. Jesus tried to answer this very question in Matthew 13, and he did it predictably with a story. A wheat farmer planted his field with good seed, and at night his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and later, when both the wheat and the weeds were growing together, the servants came to report on the situation and asked if they should pull up the weeds. The farmer said, "No, if you do that, you'll pull up the wheat too. Let them grow together, and we'll sort them out at the end." A story of God's patience in the kingdom of God, and a story of God's judgment. The ultimate fate of the weeds was still clear. They would be thrown on the brush heap to be burned. The wheat would be harvested for food. But in the meantime, God will be patient. Very patient. A year ago at Mennonite Church USA convention in Kansas City, Tom Yoder Neufeld did extensive Bible teaching for delegates over several days. One day he expounded on the patience of God and made the point that patience is not letting things be, it is enduring with hope. "Patience hurts," he said. "Patience hurts. It is pain." He said, and I quote, "You can't exercise patience without suffering." That makes sense, since the word "suffer" itself can mean patience. To suffer someone is to put up with, to bear with, to show patience with someone. For how long, we might wonder. Tom asked us, "How far does patience stretch? Well, how strong is love?" The love of God for us is expressed in patience with us, in suffering us. And it is the basis for our suffering each other, our bearing with, our being patient with each other. Patience is central to Christian faith. It is not an add-on feature, not an option. It is the definition of walking by faith, being patient. It is the frame of mind that Christ has with us, and therefore if we are to have the mind of Christ, then we will do likewise. We will be patient even when it brings us pain to do so. If our aim is reconciliation, growth, change, and repentance, we cannot do other than be patient with others, with ourselves, and with God. Like another one of Jesus' stories, the prodigal son, where the father never stopped checking the horizon, always waiting, suffering, longing to see his son return. Today, our lectionary also gave an optional reading from the Apocrypha. We don't give the Apocrypha quite the same authority for faith as the rest of our scriptures, but there's a lot of wisdom there that we shouldn't ignore. And one of those sources of wisdom is the book Wisdom of Solomon, and we read today from chapter 12. Let me reread a few of those lines. "For there is no God besides you whose care is for all people. Although you are sovereign in strength, you judge with mildness, and with great forbearance you govern us. For you have power to act whenever you choose. Through such works you have taught your people that the righteous must be kind." You see, in our humanness, we are prone to self-righteousness, and we are quick to judge and condemn others and their failings. I'm sure we can all identify times, even more so recently, when we tend in this direction. So much is going on in our world that does need to be confronted, whether in the realm of politics or of the pandemic or of systemic racism. Obvious example, there are some who disregard and endanger the well-being of others by not taking this pandemic seriously, refusing to wear masks because it's their right to refuse. Well, it's a fine line that separates those persons from those of us who might be so incensed at them that we not so secretly hope that they catch the virus themselves. If our heart is inclined toward the well-being of all people, then it needs to be inclined toward all people, including our adversaries. Sometimes our patience will be painful. But now listen, patience does not mean just letting it go. It does not mean silence in the face of injustice. Ignoring something is not the same as being patient. Agreeing to disagree is just fine when the stakes are not too high, like preference on drapes or on football teams or music. But on matters that matter, like faith and ethics and justice, then patience with honesty may be called for. We may need to wait possibly a very long time for hard conversations to bear fruit, and the waiting can be painful. In the area of racial injustice and inequity, it's nothing to be proud of that we are just now starting to admit how deeply embedded racism is in our social fabric. This is the fabric that we take for granted, that we, the majority, wrap around ourselves and benefit from. And we just assume this fabric is for everyone and it keeps everyone warm. But some can barely stick their toes underneath it while they tremble from the cold. These are hard and long conversations, and those who have been waiting for them to happen have suffered a lot of pain in the waiting. This week we lost two civil rights icons and moral beacons when Representative John Lewis and Reverend C.T. Vivian died at 80 and 95 on the same day in Atlanta. In the 60s, when they both marched and shouted and were arrested for demanding freedom now and not later, that was not impatience. That was stating a moral imperative. Their patience was proven over time when they did not walk away from the rest of us in disgust, but persisted in the call, stayed in the fight, and stayed in relationship and worked together for a better future. The day they died, they were still waiting for what they were longing for. And it's up to us who have been going along our merry way to now stop and turn and face them, and to face our living neighbors today, especially those who are still waiting in pain, and say, "I'm sorry you had to wait. I'm sorry for the pain we caused you. Thank you for waiting for us. We're with you now. We'll try to keep up." We've got to get better at saying that to each other on race issues and on all kinds of important things if we want to learn from the parable of Jesus. Because in this parable, it seems we aren't always the wheat. We might well be the weeds that God and others have to exercise patience with. We might be the ones God is just letting grow and waiting on so as not to destroy the good that's also growing alongside us. Our just and patient God is ready for us whenever we are ready. Jesus is calling us to repent, to turn toward the good, to come home.